Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture, and then we'll be seated. Ephesians chapter number 4, continuing in the theme of in the church and what Christ is doing in His church, growing His body, helping His body to develop so as to serve Him. Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 7. Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 7. If you were here last Sunday night, you know that we looked at the book of Romans and the different gifts that God has given. He is helping us to discover the gifts, and so that we can deploy them, really the focus of tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Let's read verse 12 together out loud. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, but whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's the same wording that was used this morning, those that were trying to catch Paul. But these are those that would lie in wait to cause spiritual damage. Verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, worketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, would you guide us tonight as we look into your word? May it be profitable to everyone that is gathered here this evening. We ask that you would be our teacher and our guide. We ask that you would strengthen us to serve you in this place. And we pray that you would be exalted through your body, this local assembly, in this city, Lord, not just in our city, but in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, would you be exalted? Lord, I pray that as we gather together, that there would be such a heart to serve one another in love, that there would be a heart to use the gifts and the talents that you've given us to serve and to edify your body. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Last week, we looked at this matter of discovering our gifts. We ended with that illustration of what the gifts, those seven gifts, look like and how important it is to realize that each one of us has indeed received a gift that God has used and He has specifically given to each believer. Jesus Christ has a gift to be used within the context of the local church, within the context of the assembly of the body of Christ, so that the assembly would grow and be would be edified, would be built up is what that word means. And so we must discover our gifts. The Bible helps us with that. Romans chapter number 12 helps us with that. And as we give ourselves to the Lord in sacrifice, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, we allow ourselves to be conformed into His image and transformed in, by the renewing of our mind, we can be the best servants of Christ that we can possibly be right inside the context of the church. But there's much more that the Bible speaks about in regards to our gifts. God doesn't just want us to know that we have a gift. He wants us to develop that gift. We talked about that a little bit last week, but that'll be the focus of this message tonight, developing that gift. Then we'll talk about deploying those gifts in the context of the church. And so really my heart in bringing these messages on Sunday night is simply to help reestablish or reaffirm some things that you might already know. Reality is much of preaching is a reminder. Are you with me about that? It's reminding us of things that, oh yeah, you know, I need to remember that. I need to put that into practice. And so I realize the crowd sitting in front of me tonight, most of you, you say, I've read through that passage before. I could read that passage really easily. I could quote some of the verses out of there. May the Lord help us to develop the gifts that He's given us, despite how much we know about the passage of Scripture, and let's just accept it with open hearts and allow the Lord to work in our lives. We want to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold, much grace that He has given to us. He's given each one of us grace in the form of a gift, and He wants us to develop that gift that He's entrusted to us. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you really haven't isolated down. What has God entrusted me with? I hope that you'll make that a matter of focus in your life. But if you have, I also trust that you'll have this heart. I want to develop. I want to become the very best servant of Jesus Christ that I possibly can. Notice in verses 7 through 10, notice how that the gifts are delivered to us. The gifts are delivered to us. We read in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace. Is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, the gift that comes from Christ, or the gift that is delivered to you by Christ. Think about the love of Jesus Christ. He not only died on the cross for you, but friends, He gave you a gift by which you can serve His body. He gave you the resource. He gave you the talent. He gave you the ability by which you can serve Him. What a great Savior we have. He doesn't tell us just go figure it out. He actually gifts us so that we can serve Him. He actually gifts us so that we can serve His body. Every believer has received a gift. If you're a believer here tonight, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have something with which Jesus expects you and has enabled you to serve this body. And that's a great thing. No believer is left out. Not one. You might feel like you've been left out, but you've not been left out. We used to hear the slogan, no child left behind. Well, there's no believer that is left behind. Not one. Jesus has gifted you with something. And He's gifted you to be used within the context of the local church. So as we learned last week, it's not if I have a gift, but what is my gift? What is my gift? Expecting it to be there because Jesus says, I have given you this gift. And the question for us is, have you discovered that? Do you know what this is? Do you know what God has given you? It's hard to develop something if you don't know what you have. And so what is it? You might seek some time in prayer this week. Lord, I just want to know, what is it that You have given me as a talent to do? Chances are most of you know what He's enabled you to do. If not, spend some time in prayer, praying. He's not playing cat and mouse with you. He wants you to know. He wants you to be an effective servant within the church. Study the Bible. Seek His Word. Lord, show me in Your Word. Direct me through Your Word what You want me to do. What was just quoted a moment ago, Proverbs 3 and verse number 6, commit thy way unto the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And thy thoughts. Do I have that right? Thy thoughts shall be established. Did I just mess that totally up, Jessica? What was the verse that you just quoted? Go over there to Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 6. Well, what I'm saying here tonight is the reality that if we will go to the Word of God, He will guide us. And if we trust in Him, He will guide us. Verse number 6. In all thy ways, there it is, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Do you believe if you go to the Word of God and ask Him to show you the way, He'll show you the way? Absolutely He will. So study the Word. Ask those who know you well. Chances are that people around you realize, hey, that person's gifted in that area. Every time I talk to them, that's what they talk about. Every time I see them serving, that's how they serve. Talk to those around you. Hey, what do you think it is that God has given to me? And then, you know what, most importantly, in discovering your gift is serve. Serve. Jump in. Jump in and serve. And we'll see more about that in a moment. But you can't steer a parked car. Have you ever tried? It's really hard. And sometimes people will say, and Christians will say, well, once God shows me, I'll get involved. The reality is we need to involve ourselves in serving the Lord. Get in and God will direct you. God will direct you and opportunities will come up. God will direct you as you get moving. Put your foot into the water just like the priest did at the Jordan and at the Red Sea. They put their feet in the water and God opened up the way. Let God steer you as you take steps forward. And so it is Christ that delivered the gift, but the gifts are also delivered with grace. And I want us to notice that in verse number 7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. So in proportion to the gift, God gives grace, or you might think of it as enablement, His strength, His divine strength, what you and I do not deserve, His divine strength to carry that out. Friends, whatever God has given you as an ability, as a talent, as a spiritual ability, He also will enable you to accomplish. Now, the reality is the gifts we have can only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, the gift then must be something I'm really good at physically. No, not necessarily. Sometimes God gifts you something that it means you have to depend totally upon Him in order for that gift to operate. It's a spiritual gift. It's something that operates as you say yes to the Holy Spirit of God. The reality, if you're thinking that you're only going to serve God inside of your comfort zone, well, God's going to teach you something along the way, because He's going to call you outside of that comfort zone, and He's saying, trust my grace, trust my strength, trust my enablement. You can do this with my power. This is the ability I'm giving you as you trust in me. And whether it's something that is out in front or back behind the scenes, regardless, it's something that God enables by His grace. So God enables every believer according to the gift He has given. One man said it this way: each believer is to function in Christ's body by God's enablement proportionate to the gift or the spiritual ability bestowed upon him, no more, no less. No more, no less. Well, I can't be that person. God didn't ask you to be that person. I don't have gifts like he does. Well, good thing. God hasn't called you to have the gifts that he does. God has given you gifts by which you can operate. God is not asking you to be somebody else. That is why the New Testament tells us explicitly, comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. We operate according to what God has given us to do and the talents with which he has given us and the grace with which he has given us to perform those talents. So saying I can't serve the Lord or I can't do that is not acknowledging the grace of God that comes along with the gift he has given. Friends, I encourage you, lean on the grace of God. When God calls you outside of your comfort zone and to extend yourself in developing your gift that he's given you, go outside of that comfort zone. Lean on the grace of God. There's a good way of praying ahead of going into an opportunity. Lord, I don't have this. If you don't show up, I'm had. I'm done. You know how many times I've learned that it's wise for me to simply tell the Lord, and most every time I approach this podium, I tell the Lord, I have nothing to give them apart from you. And I mean it. You know what? Go out door knocking or soul winning. Lord, I have no ability to win anyone to you. I need your grace. Go into a counseling situation or navigating through something. Lord, I have no ability. You're going to have to guide this one. And the reality of staying in that frame of mind, I need the grace of God in this moment. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're opening up doors. It doesn't matter if you're serving to the children down here on Wednesday night or driving a bus or doing something around the building. Lord, apart from your grace, I can't do this. We need to keep that perspective. Wouldn't you agree with me? Been a long day, huh? We're all a little sleepy. A little bit. I can't listen to this message apart from your grace, Lord. Oh, we are. Ephesians 4 and verse number 10. It is God that has given His Holy Spirit to empower us and to enable us to do what He's called us to do. Wasn't it Jesus, friends, as we talk a little bit and joke a little bit about tiredness and fatigue? Wasn't it Jesus that depended on God and asked for strength? Didn't He teach us to do that? Didn't He tell us through the Apostle Paul that His strength is made perfect in our weakness? Do you know there's times where the ministry that's in front of you, you won't have the physical strength to go after? And you'll have to just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I desperately need You to show up. And I encourage you in that way. Exactly whoever said that, we are human. But He's given us gifts with which to use in His body. And they aren't always convenient. They aren't always convenient. I don't always like to use personal illustrations, though sometimes it's easy with my kids. I'm getting in trouble a little bit with more and more with my kids as they get older and using personal illustrations there. You might understand. But, you know, sometimes I was telling the deacons, last Sunday night, I'd just gotten to sleep. And 12:40, my alarm rings, and I got called out. I'm a chaplain here in the city, and I got called out and spent a good part of the night out. You know, I was really tired. It had been a long day. And I'm not the answer to every need in town, and I know that. But God has given me that opportunity. You know what? God gave strength overnight. And I prayed on the way there, tried not to fall asleep on the way there. Lord, you got to help me out because I have nothing. Literally, I have nothing to give right now. And I'm telling you, God will give us the strength if we trust Him. And there is also the sense, friends, that Jesus did know when it's time to rest. And sometimes that's hard. When it's time to just pull back and rest and find a desert place. And those are realities too. God does not expect us to be going full speed all the time. And the Lord will direct us in that. But what I'm just trying to underscore is the Holy Spirit will empower us as we depend upon Him. And in your life, that's going to look different than in my life, but the bottom line is you can trust Him to give grace to fulfill the gift that He's given you to serve this body. And we can trust Him in that way. God has made you just the way He has made you. He's made you, you. He's given you a gift that is you. And He desires His Holy Spirit to come along, His grace to fill that. Just like He said there in verse number 10, He fill all things, fill you up so that you can serve Him with strength and with passion. These gifts are to be developed. They're not just delivered to us. In verses 11 through 13, they're to be developed. They're developed, first of all, through Christ's provision. Did you notice in verse number 11? And He gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are specific callings based on the gifts. But these aren't just the gifts. We've already covered the gifts. In fact, guys, would you give us the last screen that denotes all the gifts? Let's just remind ourselves of the screen of the gifts that are given to us. The last one. Did I put that in there? Okay, let's turn over back over to Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 12. And let's just remind ourselves of these gifts and see that there's a difference between Ephesians 4:11 and verse number 6 of Romans 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, notice that again, according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, so there's our first one, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, the gifts of helps or serving, let us wait on our ministry, let us be active in that, or teaching, he that teacheth on teaching, so instructing in the word, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. That's the gift and the ministry of encouragement, sort of like a Barnabas. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He's resourced, and he just finds great delight in giving time, talents, finances, etc. Let him do it with simplicity. Let him do it with a genuine heart. He that ruleth, kind of an administrator, let him do it with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, someone that comes along and hurts with somebody else. So these seven gifts that were given to us, are a little bit different than what is mentioned here in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are specific offices or callings that God had given. Now, the apostles, we understand, those were those that witnessed the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul was an apostle born out of due time. He saw Jesus as the resurrected Lord on the road to Damascus. And so when they replaced Judas in Acts chapter number 1, they replaced him with someone that had observed his life, all of his life, his death, and his resurrection. So there are no more apostles today. Right? No matter how many churches there are, according to Scripture, there's no more apostles. Now, apostle, in that sense, apostle means a sent one. They were sent to do a specific front work for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us later on in the New Testament that they were a part of the foundation of the church. They were not the cornerstone of the church. Jesus Christ is. They're part of laying that groundwork for the church on which we still benefit today. And in reality, Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, we are still benefiting from the ministry of the apostles. We read the letters to the churches. We are still benefiting from the ministry of the apostles yet today. You have the prophets. Those were the foretellers of the truth. They took from God and they declared to the people. In the sense, the strict sense of that, there's still those that foretell the word of God. They take the word of God and they declare it. Not in the sense of the Old Testament prophet, but in the sense of declaring the word of God. But even to that ministry has become less in the sense that there's no Old Testament prophet still in ministry today. But we do have evangelists and pastors and pastor teacher. And so this ministry of evangelist, pastor, teacher, an evangelist is a gospelizer, someone that his whole focus is on the message of the gospel. You might think of this person as a church planter, a missionary, a person that's taking the gospel into a community, planting a church. Paul did much of the work of an evangelist. Timothy was told to do the work of the evangelist. He wasn't an evangelist, he was a pastor, but he's told to do the work of the evangelist. Philip was an evangelist up in Samaria. Then God moved him down in a big group up in Samaria. Then Acts 8 moved him down to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch on the road to Gaza. So he was an evangelist. He was a gift to the church, a gift to the early church, and it was a great thing. And then the pastor teacher, all these are callings based on the gifts that God has given. Christ himself has provided. He has appointed these offices to help develop his church, to develop the giftings of the church. He's given these gifts. He said there in verse 11, he gave. Now think about that. Jesus so loves his church that he gave them gifts. He gave them offices to help develop them. And so we are developed through Christ's provision. Do you realize tonight that these callings are not rights, they're gifts, they're privileges, they're something that God has gifted to our church. You know, we have prayed for Pastor Shaw and them finding a pastor over there in Fairmont, right? Do you know there's many churches across our country that would like to have a pastor? You read the statistics, COVID and the years following have been very, very difficult years for ministry. And there are churches that would love to have a pastor. We don't realize the gift that it is until it's not there. And the idea that I want to just underscore here is it's a privilege. We are a blessed church. We are a blessed church, not because of me, but because the office of the pastor is filled. And there is the word going forth, and there's some leadership. Here's where we need to go. There's a blessing God has given to us that. Just this past week, I was talking with somebody about evangelist Bobby Bosler, whose trailer we need to be praying that he gets fixed. But I'm grateful we can park it for right now. But do you remember back earlier this year when God brought evangelist Bobby Bosler through? Were you touched by his messages? Were you equipped by his messages? Yeah. I just heard that this week. That's a blessing to hear something that's happened several months ago saying, you know, I still remember those, and they blessed and they convicted my heart. You know what that is? God is giving to his church, and that's a privilege that we ought to thank Jesus for tonight. It's for the good of the body. I didn't choose, okay, you know what, 17, I didn't choose to be pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Jesus put me here. I believe that. It's a gift to the church. Thinking back my own life, most of the key decisions of my life, the pivotal decisions of my life were made with my pastor. Were made either in prayer or seeking his counsel. I remember praying with him concerning the direction of my life, where I would go to prepare for ministry, who I would marry. Many of those key decisions, where I go after I prepared. Many of those key decisions. I was texting with the man that was instrumental in me going into ministry just this afternoon and last week, and it was a blessing. And he texted me. He says, I hope you're still preaching. And we're going to catch up hopefully this week, and it's been a real long time. He wasn't my pastor, but he was someone that God used to help me to see my need to follow after Jesus. I'm just saying that we need to look at what God has given to the church, and we need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. You will not be all that you should be as a believer apart from being developed in a biblical local church with a God-called pastor, teacher, and the gifts of the evangelist working in it. Do you believe that? There's many people out there saying we don't need church. Friends, that's not true. A believer needs church. And God has made it and designed it that way. These are the provisions that Jesus has given. But notice it's also not just developed by Jesus' provisions, these gifts to the church, also by Christ's process. And we see that in verse 12 through 15. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. The idea of perfecting is to equip. So God designed that the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were essential to this process. They were essential. Jesus did not just say, oh, just get together in homes. We see some of that going on these days. Just get together in homes. We don't really need a pastor. Just kind of get together in fellowship and just talk about the Word of God. No, that's chaos. Y'all awake? That's chaos. And yet it's happening in churches. Where there is no spiritual leadership oversight, it is happening. And it's not to say believers shouldn't get together and study the Word, but God has gifted the church with pastors, evangelists, for a purpose. And so we see as you see kind of this, you know, convenient Christianity going along, you see some of that going on in churches. Well, we'll have our little huddles at homes and just get together and we'll study the Bible and we'll all feel good and we'll go our way. Friends, every believer needs a local church. And every believer, I know I'm a pastor saying this, but every believer needs a pastor. And so he's designed it that way. This is his process. He's designed that these gifts that he's given to the church would help further the process of developing your gifts for the work of the ministry. It's a three-part process that I want us to notice. It says for the perfecting of the saints. The implication is to correct what is deficient, to mend the net, so to speak, to help there to be growth in the life. Titus 1 and verse 5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed you. What was the answer? For the island of Crete, Paul said, I'm sending you there. There's chaos going on. Here's what you do. The very first thing, Titus, set in order elders, pastors in those cities, in those churches, to help set things in order. To help bring the lacking things back in order. He says that he's given to the church these gifts for the perfecting, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. Not only be equipped, but be engaged. Part of this process is that every believer says, I see that I'm supposed to be equipped, but I'm also going to take the step and I'm going to be engaged. Every believer ought to be in ministry. It's not a spectator event. It's not a spectator gathering. Every believer serving in ministry. Ministry is not for a certain few. It's for you too. And if you don't have a place of ministry in this body, or if you're not a part of this body, my encouragement is you need to be a part and you need to be serving. I make no apology for saying that. Why? Because that is how Jesus designed to develop you to serve him and to edify the body. Be engaged. Be edified. The act of building up, he says, so that the body would be edified or we'd be built up. The edifying of the body of Christ. So perfecting for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up the body of Christ. So the idea is that as you minister with your gifts, the whole body is edified. You know, we hear so much about church growth going on in our society and everything, bigger, better idea. But you realize it gets down to this fundamental thing. If you and I will take the gifts that God has given to us and we will simply serve God with those gifts, the church will grow spiritually and in every other way. Why? Because it's not just one person or a few people doing it. God is gifting us to help the body naturally to grow. And so how I encourage us to be a part of edifying the body of Christ by being engaged and by allowing God to equip us in our giftings. And so to be edified, the idea is the act of building up. We want to be a part of that. And so this is the process that Christ has given. You know, I want to give you kind of an illustration or visual tonight. It's not one man doing all the ministry. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find this idea that, you know, it's all just a staff that does all the work of the ministry. Sometimes I'll hear people say, "Well, I did not get a visit from the church." Well, hold on. Did you get a visit from any church member? Then you got a visit from the church. Well, the pastor did not come and visit me. Hold on. If only the pastor comes and visits, or only the pastor, is that the standard for what the church reaching out is? No, the whole body. We are the church. We are the church. And this idea that it all lands on the pastor's shoulders is not a good and sustainable way of going about things. You're to be equipped for the work of the ministry and thereby for the edifying of the body of Christ. The converse of that is also true. If that is not the case, then the church will not be edified. Now think about this. So as the evangelist and pastor, teacher, ministers, the ministered in turn ministers. You know, think about the power of that. Think about all the relationships that you can minister to. You take what God is teaching you, and it's not just one person, but it's webbing out. And all the power that's even just sitting inside of this room to touch hearts this week. There are people that I will never meet that you'll meet. And if you will simply take your gift and you will minister, not just inside of this room, but minister with your gifting in this community, think about the power of that. And that's what God has designed for to happen. You are to be equipped so that you can minister with your gift and that the body can be edified, the body can be built up, others can be added to the church, and others can be strengthened spiritually. Think about the exhortations that should happen even today and throughout this week and how the body will be built up this week as you encourage one another in the Lord. This process happened in the local church in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. So let's go back to Acts chapter number 11. I want to show you an illustration. I want to show you an illustration about how this happened. Acts chapter number 11. Boy, I enjoyed getting back into the book of Acts this morning. Lots of fun and so much content in there. Acts chapter number 11, look back there with me. And we're looking for verse number 23. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 23. Who, and speaking of Barnabas, when he had come, he was sent up to Antioch. They had heard down in Jerusalem, he was down in the church at Jerusalem. Remember, he bought and sold the property to give to one another, and Barnabas was the son of consolation. So they've heard down in Jerusalem that God is doing great things up in the church at Antioch. It's about north, and it's closer to this on the Mediterranean Sea. I don't have a map for you tonight. So he goes up, who, when he had come, verse 23, had seen the grace of God and was glad, exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Interesting there. You see that Barnabas had been perfected, had been strengthened, equipped to go out and minister. What happened to the church as he went up there? It was built up. It was built up. They were encouraged. There were people that were added to the church. It was built up. Verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Here's what happens. He goes another bit of a journey to the north side of the Mediterranean Sea, finds Saul, who has come to Christ, brings him back down to Antioch, and together now as a team, they're ministering together. So he's not just ministering in the church as an individual, he's bringing someone else along, this man named Saul, that is being discipled and growing in his abilities to minister within the church. And so for a whole year, they're assembling together. And they're ministering together, so much so that the church, that the Holy Spirit notes for us that the church, the believers there in Antioch, were first called Christians or little Christ there. They had gotten a name in town. You're those little Christs. You're those Christ followers. Well, Barnabas was a part of building all that up. And so how interesting it was that it wasn't just Pastor James now that is ministering down in Jerusalem. He sent one of his members up, the church sent one of the members up to check on Antioch, and he's up there encouraging them, and they're being built up. He goes up and gets Saul, and Saul comes down, and Saul's being built up, and we have this wonderful thing that's happening there at the church of Antioch. But we go on. In chapter 11 and verse number 30, when also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So what's happening here? An offering was sent down for the church at Jerusalem. And so Barnabas and Saul take this offering back down to Jerusalem. There's a bunch of persecution happening down there. Herod the Great's about ready to die because he stands up in Caesarea and gives a speech elevating himself as God or receiving worship. And at the end of chapter number 12, we find that Barnabas and Saul, who had been down there in Jerusalem, it says in verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, their service, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So now we have a third guy that's added into this mix that they're bringing along, and they're going to be equipping and encouraging and strengthening, and this is all going to be happening up at Antioch. And then look at verse chapter 13 and verse number 1. So Antioch has a pastor, and they're meeting together, they're assembling, but we have these guys, Paul and Barnabas, and now John Mark. They're there in the assembly, and they're fellowshipping together, and they're serving the Lord together, they're praying together, and the church is just thriving, they're growing, they're being equipped and strengthened. In verse number 1, Acts chapter 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Doesn't that sound like Ephesians 4 and verse number 11? The gifts to the church, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manane, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid on their hands on them, and they sent them away. Here's what I want us to get the picture of. What we're showing right there, this is happening in the church of Antioch. There is ministry happening. There's giftings that are functioning, and the church is being built up. And now it is not just the ministry that's happening there in the assemblies to each other. They're now saying, hey, you need to take the gospel somewhere else, Saul and Barnabas and John Mark. You go take the gospel. You go on their first missionary journey. How did that all happen? People functioning in their gifts, being equipped by pastors, prophets, teachers in the church, being equipped and growing up in the ministry and being able to go forward and serve with their gifts. Listen, right within the context of the local church is the place where God develops your gifts in ministry within the context of the church. God has designed it that way. Believers are not to remain perpetually dependent, but to be developed and practically deployed to minister in doing. They build up the body of Christ. So if the only concept that you have of church is sitting and listening to a message, you're missing the point. true.
You're supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be taking that equipping and doing something. You're supposed to be going, getting a Saul and discipling him. You're supposed to be getting a teenager John Mark and bringing him along. You're supposed to be doing something with a gift God designed for, in this context, for it to be developed, but do something with it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy's responsibility was to, who's the faithful men? Who's the people that are constantly there, the men that are constantly showing up? Teach those men, and in turn allow those men to teach somebody else.
Well, that's exactly what a Barnabas was. That's how Saul was brought along.
Think about if Barnabas had not acted with his gift. Think if he didn't exhort the church, and if he didn't tell them to cleave to the Lord. Think about the loss to that world. Think about your loss. You read through the New Testament, and you read all these things that God inspired through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, and we benefit from them. Who was behind that? Who was a part of that, Barnabas? Just simply serving with his gifting. He was just an exhorter. He was just an encourager, the son of consolation, but he used his gift well. He used his gift well in the context of the church. Now notice the scope of this process of development. How long is this supposed to go on? Do I ever graduate from the local church? Well, look at verse number 13. Ephesians 4 and verse number 13. Go back there with me. Ephesians 4 and verse number 13. Do I ever graduate? When does this end? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13. We'll wrap up these few other thoughts in these verses. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's being said there is until we get to glory and you're perfect. How long is this process of perfecting your gifts and of developing your gifts going on? Until Jesus comes. So stay at it. Keep allowing God to develop you. What's the purpose of this? Verse number 14, he says that you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So God wants you to be stable both in doctrine and also in practice. Do you know what happens to a believer that absents themselves from the local church? They will find their spiritual life falls into shambles. Every single time. God did not design us for us to live on our own. He designed for us to live in Christian community. And so the purpose of this development is be here. Assemble like a Barnabas did. Assemble like a Saul did. Why? So he can continue to stabilize you in doctrine and also in your practice. How's it supposed to be done? What's the manner of this process? The declaration of the truth in love. So God's as simple as this. You know what? We have all the bells and whistles of churches these days, but it really gets back to the simplicity of the preached word of God. This is it. We can have no building. And I said this last week, and I'm not trying to harp on it, but we can have none of the trappings. But as long as we have the word of God. I don't remember who I was talking to this week, but they were talking about how churches have flipped it. They focus all in on the light show, all in on the worship, because you only worship when music happens. No, that's not true, right? You worship 24/7, and every act, every deed is an act of worship to some deity, whether it's your Jesus or some other deity. We flipped it. You get a 15-minute ditty. Something. Sometimes they may open the Bible and they may not. The craziness that is going on in churches. And no wonder people are so hungry. Easter Sunday, church down in Cincinnati. They're going to have the Lord's Supper. They serve Little Debbie's and the pastor drinks a Miller Lite from the pulpit. Insanity going on. Ride the motorcycle up there on the center aisle.
That's how you come out. Insanity. No wonder people are hungry. And friends, that's not what church is all about. It has become a show. It has been commercialized. And friends, frankly, much of even how we go about it, listen, is the assembly of the saints together. What happened in the book of Acts? Paul gets together and they preach until midnight. Now, I'm not going to do that tonight and because I realize I might be preaching to a sleeping audience, but we're going to stop here. But the reality is it really is the Word of God. The simplicity that is in Christ. He's promised to bless the preach Word of God. We come here three times a week to open up the Word of God and say, Lord, teach me something. You come here on Wednesday nights ahead of time. There's even an extra time to just come and chat about what God's teaching you in your Bible reading at 6:30 on Wednesday night. This is what it's all about. We need the Word. We're reading together and we're encouraging. And you know, it blessed my soul just this past, I think it was Wednesday night, just to have someone going through and say, you know what, this passage of Scripture blessed me this week. That's what it is all about. How we need it more and more. And so he's designed that there would be this development through this process, of equipping us, encouraging us with the gifts that are given to the church. Friends, let's stay at it. So I ask you tonight, are you actively seeking to develop your spiritual gifting? Are you actively seeking to develop your spiritual gifting? Have you acknowledged the gift you have? Well, Ephesians 4:7 says you have one. Are you rooted in the local church? Is this your church? Sometimes people say, well, that church, is this my church? Not as in belonging to me, but do you belong here? Have you committed to Jesus Christ and to a body of doctrine and to this body of believers? Have you given yourself, say, I want to be a member. I'm all in to what God is doing here. And I want to be a part. I want to be accountable to this local church. Are you rooted in the local church? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18 talks to us about that God has set us in the church. He determines if God has brought you here, then be a part of it. Be a part of it. Are you using the resources that God has given you to develop your gift? Yes, the preaching of the Word, but what about Bible studies? God has gifted us with great books. Some of you took my recommendation last week and started reading through The Insanity of Obedience and The Insanity of God. And you know what's blessed me? Is to hear how God is using that book, that simple recommendation, to encourage some of you. You know what that is? That's equipping. It's equipping. Praise the Lord for that. Are you using those resources that are available to you? Do you enthusiastically seek and accept the opportunities to serve? Someone once told me when I was back in Bible college, never turn down an offer to preach. I don't know that I have maybe a couple because of a schedule conflict. But friends, the idea of, you know what, if God's putting it in front of me, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. Have that heart. And enthusiastically do it. Romans 12 and 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Start small, but start. It's always the hardest step, isn't it? Are you accountable in the use of your gift? No one ever outgrows accountability. Not me, not you. No one ever outgrows accountability. We find that happened in the early church. When they came back from their first missionary journey, where did Paul and Barnabas go? Back to Antioch, and they gave them a report. Here's what's going on in the ministry that you sent us out to do. They gave a report. Are you continuing through difficult times? You know what? Ministering with your gift, you're going to face some stormy seas. And you just stay at it. When the going gets tough, when the fruit isn't readily apparent, do you just keep going forward? Friends, I encourage you, develop your gift. Allow God to do that in your life right here in the context of the local church. Enjoy this. Thank God for it. Allow God to continue to develop it. If you're not a part, if you need to become a member, I encourage you to be a member. But join all in. Allow God to continue to work in your heart, in this place, and develop you for the good of this body, for the good of Christ's body, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and for your own spiritual good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us gifts. Help us to develop them for your glory's sake, not for our own. And I pray that you would make us a church that's constantly edifying one another in love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Take a few moments to pray tonight before we leave. Perhaps the Lord spoke to your heart. I'm just going to open up the altar. Let's pray before we leave. Lord, I want to develop that gift. Show me specifics this week. Lord, there are some things There are some things that I've not been so willing to have people give me input, give me feedback. Lord, I want to allow you to develop my gift even through that. Lord, there's been some opportunities I've avoided. I've not been enthusiastic in my service to you. I've not been rooted here like I ought to be. Lord, I'm going to acknowledge that you set me in this place. You've brought me to this place. I'm going to root in.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.